Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin, who, by the way, Pipe, Ron's his attendance has been exemplary lately. Yeah, I feel like you, baby, you've done a really good job of just being on the program lately. Which
oh, baby, thanks for that affirmation.
We need to get him. We need to get him like an iron-on patch for his jacket.
Dude, yeah, we need to give him a little attendance patch, a little good attendance patch, and then get him back out on the road because I'm sure you know.
It's coming. It begins on Monday, to be honest,
boys. Because then he needs to show off his patch to people across.
Correct.
Yeah, baby, America. Where are you going on Monday?
Heading out for a little retreat near a Bee Pipe, actually.
Wow.
In Gatlinburg.
Gatlinburg. Yeah.
Watch out for bears. They run rampant.
Like when, so Pipe, when Big M saw those bears and she knew we were going to the same area, it's literally all she's been talking about, man. This chick loves bears and things like that. I mean, she's just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over things like that. So,
well, wow. They're fun to see. And then when they get up close, it's less fun because.
But dude, are the baby bears, are they like, can they still just like tear your arm off or how does that work with them?
Well, you know, I didn't stick my arm in front of them to find out, but, the baby bears are like the size of a St. Bernard this time of year. So
they're like not little. They're not really babies.
Yeah, they're cute from a distance, and then you get up close, and you're like, "That's a 90-pound creature or something." So, yeah, I don't know.
Like a baby giant. It's like, yeah, it's just a baby, but it's a giant.
Yeah, I don't think I would mess with them. They also, I would suggest. I mean, if you want to see them, leave food out, but also don't leave food out. That's not a great idea. That's what the people who we were out in that area with did, and it worked really well, but also it made the bears stick around and try to like climb the house, so encouraged.
Well, for sure Big M's gonna leave out, like she's gonna like start cooking for the bears right now just to leave stuff out for them. That's how invested she is in seeing a bear. It's insane.
She's
well, folks, this has been the Happy Rant Nature Podcast. We've done what we always do.
Yeah, I'm ready to wrap it up, boys. Is that good?
Let's just talk about bears for 2.5 minutes.
Why don't we make it the world's shortest ep?
Yeah.
Just for something to do.
Maybe you're ready to get out on the road. Can I ask a bit of a semantic question at this point?
Yeah, throw it up.
I feel like when most couples take a trip, they just call it a trip, or we're going away for a few days or whatever. Like, do you always, if it's just you and Big M taking a trip, do you still call it a retreat? Because to me, a retreat implies like there's other programming involved. There are other people.
Yeah, no. This is a retreat. This is like a pastor's wives kind of retreat thing we're doing. Yeah. It's not just me and Big M. Yeah. So. Yeah.
We got to get you back to your normal schedule of doing that thing every couple of weeks.
Like it's beginning again. I feel like I'm kicking off life as usual. I know
America's pastors are coming out of the woodwork saying they're ready to retreat. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolute. We're getting back.
How's the Yoda life lately?
It's been oak. I don't know. Ask Pipe. I can't judge my own.
Fair to middling. How's his
Yoda work? Fair to middling.
Okay. Yeah. Middling. He's
the cutest priest, man.
No, that's not an insult. It just means like you're. I would say like meets expectations. You're just sort of
just putting the reps in, you know, getting some shots up.
You know, you can't always be inspired, and you know, but there's been a consistent, steady, reliable source of Yoda work from our friend Ron. I was accused of trying to overtake him on Twitter recently,
talk about that, Pipe. Well, what happens?
It goes back to that old thing where anytime if you ever tweet anything that sounds thoughtful, any of our listeners who don't understand the true nature of Yoda are like Yoda tweet, and then they tag Ronnie and try to make us pick a fight.
So were you dabbling in a little Yoda stuff and you felt like you infringed on his territory a little bit?
I don't think I did.
Give us each a lightsaber at that point and fight it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I didn't think I was. I think I tweeted something to the effect of, it's hard to hate someone you pray for, which...
Okay, that's solid.
But it also seems fairly... Like there's
it's
no
fairly
sort of
straightforward. There's nothing incomprehensible about
There's
it.
Nothing about that that you have to go, there's no aspect of that. It's just like you agree or disagree kind of thing. Whereas like Ronnie's tweets have a touch of.
Like what the bleep is he saying? You know?
There's a touch of like Emily Dickinson, you know, symbolism in there. And you're like, it sounds like it probably means something, but I'm a little lost.
I feel like Ron's been doing a lot of work with the hard return lately too. There's been a lot of spacing stuff going on. So I feel like you got
to
use
hard to make it a little more comprehensible, boys. I want it to be, I want everybody to be able to marinate in every line.
Mm. And you know they are, dude. I mean, you know they gotta be. But boys, speaking of marinating in every line, we've got a very special sponsor.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. They made a big commitment to the program in that they booked 1 week of sponsorship. So shout out to Jared C's publisher. Really big financial commitment. We appreciate the faith in the program on that. But Piper, we didn't suss this out pre-show, so we're kind of going a little bit off book here. But don't you think because we have Jared C's best friend in the whole wide world on our program that he should do the promo read for Echo Island, the brand new smash hit young adult novel?
Is this the one that you blurbed, or did you blurb a different Jared C?
That's the one I blurbed. I blurbed this.
Okay, I feel like I feel like the two of you need to take this one then, because between best friend and blurb master, like I'm a distant third.
Blurb master. I'm with the B master on this one.
The B master. I've gotta ask a question, and this might be a little awkward, and I don't want to cause conflict between you guys and each other, you guys and Jared.
Yeah, not at all. Throw it out there.
Am I the only one on the program that got asked to blurb this thing?
Yeah, I did not get asked.
Baby, is that hard for you? I mean, given the depth of your friendship with Jared and like all the time you guys have spent together and the trips and the retreat that he's
put on. Honest,
gave me photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right. It was peculiar for me, but as I've gotten to know Jared C, like Jared C is not like, unlike me, and maybe, I don't know, I'll just say you, Big T. I'm not going to throw this on Pipe because I've been hanging with you a little bit longer. Like,
sure.
Like we don't have to be as well thought out about every move we make in the world. Jared C is incredibly well thought out. So, because I've never, I mean, you've written like fiction stuff. I haven't before.
Yeah.
He wouldn't ask me to blurb a fiction. Not, I mean, you know, forget the fact that I've read 2000 like fiction books, like because I haven't written one, like
yeah,
you blurb it. But since you've written some, like he's going to ask you to do it. So there's kind of like that Enneagram 5, like it, there has to be a thread connecting it kind of.
Dude, there's intentionality to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And because he and I are in that, we're in that tight fraternity of Christian
fiction writers,
male fiction writers.
I'm just trying to break into it, and I can't get where you guys are already at apparently. So, you know, it's my
it's
failure.
Rarefied territory.
It's really rarefied air. And I'm not part of the club yet. I get that. It's just
tough
it's
deal, baby. Tough
where
deal.
God has me.
It's where God has you, and I want you to be faithful in it, okay?
I'm going to try. I'm trying to be faithful in it.
Brighter days ahead, all right? Brighter days ahead. And I'll tell you, I'm going to try to covenant with you two to not sort of, I don't know, lord that over you. You know what I mean? I don't want to use that.
Like
I don't
want to Gentiles with us, Big T. I'm begging you.
Yeah, I mean,
is this the kind of covenant where like it costs you your life if you break the covenant? Because that's a strong commitment. I'd rather just lord it over.
Yeah, maybe I will. You know, I don't want to write any checks that I can't cash. You know, so you gotta let me think about it. But
so here's something for you, man.
Sure.
So it's kind of a ha-ha, but I want to throw it out there just real quick.
Yeah.
So as soon as I found out we were promoing Echo Island.
Yeah, EH. You
know, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I wrote Jared C. I sent him a little text. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, just doing a little promo. And one of the things that happened, like this was before the book came out. This was months ago when I knew the book was coming out, right?
Yeah.
And I I was talking to Jared C., and I kind of just forgot the title, so I called it Echo Canyon, not Echo Island.
Dude, which kind of makes sense, because if you're in a canyon, mistake. There's going to naturally be an echo.
Yeah,
and like you're an audio mistake. Guy, you get that. Yeah,
right. There's not which is kind of weird for his Enneagram 5 mind. There's not generally an echo on an island, but there always is going to be, you know, in a canyon, right?
Yeah.
So I called it Echo Canyon, and he like obviously corrected me before I even got the word finished, you know, coming out of my lips, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of called it Echo Canyon, like whenever I talk to him forever, because that's just funny, right?
Interesting.
And so I said, oh, you know, just promoting Echo Canyon right now on the rant. And this was his reply. You ready for this, baby?
Yeah.
He says, if y'all call it Echo Canyon, so help me. See what I'm dealing with?
Fine. Fine, Jared. We won't call it Echo Canyon. In the spirit of social media, we'll call it Echo Chamber. How's that?
Nice. I mean, I literally can't remember what it's called now at all, to be honest. And I know we were
Echo Isthmus
a minute ago.
Dude, too. He's one of those authors that's like real sensitive about the show getting the name of the book right. You know, he's one of those prima donnas in that way.
Yeah, so when you promote, when you get ready to blurb it right now, Big T, make sure you call it Echo Canyon. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I'll call it Echo Canyon for sure, for you. I honestly, to tell the truth, I don't know where he got the, I don't know how Echo Island played into the novel itself, other than that being the name of the island. I mean, it could have been called Ronnie Island or Piper Island.
Because there's really nothing echoey about it. Is that what you're saying?
To me, I didn't catch that, but I may be.
Is that because you read the first seven pages and stopped?
No, dude, okay, so full disclosure, and this is no ha-has here. I read literally the whole thing. I read every page of it. Yeah, such that like other novelists who I know in my life, who I haven't read every pages of their book, like they got a little offended. Like there was a little sense of like, gosh, you don't read my books at that level. But I can honestly say I truly enjoyed the book. I planned on reading seven pages. When I got seven pages in, I was kind of hooked. So I just kept going.
I'm sorry, Nicholas Sparks. I just haven't managed to finish any of your books yet.
Yeah, dude, it's been a little weird between me and Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah, well, know, Nick is to be honest. That way, man.
Nick is a little sensitive that way. He's just one of those guys. You got to keep telling him how great he is all the time.
When you're such a just a profound elite artist like him, you know, you'd kind of live in your feelings a little bit. So that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, we've always known Nick to be a little sensitive like that. I mean,
boys, I feel like this promo, it's going a little wild and we need to rein this thing back in.
We're giving them a lot of cash on the return for this one, Big T.
Yeah. We're giving them a ton for their 1 week commitment. You know, they gambled on us and we're sure giving them a lot. So, Piper, I feel like we do need some kind of a standard promo read from you that we can bounce off of. Do you have copy ready from the publisher or are we just, totally vamped?
I would like to hear, I think you've actually read your blurb on this podcast previously, but you know,
happy
I would
to do it again.
Yeah. Let's do that again because
your blurb and then just give it a little summation.
Yeah. We'll give your summation and then I can kind of fill in with what the publisher gave. But my guess is your summation will be better because the publisher doesn't want to reveal too much because, you know, they want people to buy and read this thing. So I'd go with your blurb and then just sort of a high points. And then maybe we can do like a comparison of how does this compare to like other young adult fiction? Cause I know you guys are big fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, do you want a little peek behind the curtain at my friendship with Jared? My, you know, not quite best friend. So it's not going to sound like Jared and Ronnie, but do you want to hear the note that I wrote him like before the blurb?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay, personal touch is always nice.
Yeah, man. Throw it out there.
Jared. So a strange thing happened as I was fully prepared to half bleep your blurb, as I have done for many others before. I read the whole thing and really enjoyed it. In fact, if you can spare an extra copy when it drops, I'd love to give it to my sons. I think they would benefit from it. Whoa. Here's the blurb. Feel free to use as much or as little as you'd like. So that was the note. And that just touched off just some really deep correspondence, man. I won't get into it, but, you know, just kind of sharing each other's hearts and
oh man. So. Yeah. I feel touched.
Yeah.
He is very effusive. So that makes sense.
He is. Here we go. Here's the blurb. Two things I've never been a huge fan of are book blurbs, perhaps besides Twitter, the lowest and least sincere form of human communication, and young adult fiction. But after reading Echo Island in its entirety, I am, at least momentarily, a huge fan of both. This book was everything a young adult novel should be. Fun, hopeful, thoughtful, challenging, and full of the kinds of characters you see aspects of yourself in. And oddly, as a middle-aged father, I found myself being edified and encouraged by it as well. Ted Kluck, author of The Extraordinary Life of a Mediocre Jock and The Outstanding Life of an Awkward Theater Kid, co-host, The Happy Rant Podcast. So that's it, guys. That's the blurb. Do you guys have any questions about the blurb itself or about the book?
I got a question for you, pal.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Just pretend like I haven't read the book, but you know I'm like gaga for like Mysterio, like fiction type stuff like this.
Sure.
You know?
Sure, sure.
Like if you had like, you know, so we just finished lunch. I'm late. It's kind of like the end of every pod we do together. I'm like, dude, I really have a heart out. I got to go quick. Tell me about the book. Like, what did you like about it? What was it?
Yeah. So I think what I liked about it, distinct characters. So oftentimes in these like packs of kid novels, you know, novels where kids are roaming around in packs, right? One of them's named Johnny and one of them's Timmy and you don't know who's who and there's really nothing to differentiate them. It was easy to differentiate the characters. I was kind of immediately drawn in by the dilemma that they were faced with. And I wanted to know what was going to happen to them. So like kind of in a nutshell, it started there. But then like, because I've done this stuff before, I was kind of curious to see how Jared was going to weave in the whole, like, he wrote this for a Christian publisher, so there has to be some Christian stuff in it. And I've got to tell you, he wove that in really, really well. It wasn't on the nose. It wasn't heavy-handed. There was nothing really, like, ham-fisted about that aspect of it.
Did he get the word gospel in there multiple times like he does in the title of all of his other books?
He actually didn't. I don't think he used the word gospel once. And it was all kind of like, you know, these guys grew up with a huge Jones for C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. And I'm sure Jared was no different. So it was kind of a shout out to those guys, kind of an homage, kind of the fanciful created world thing a little bit. But yeah, he just did it really well.
That sounds like the gospel of Jesus Christ when you describe it that way.
Yeah. And there was a little aspect of that, but like I said, it was very tastefully done. He did a good thing, which is he didn't start with a message and then reverse engineer a story. He started with a story and wove in a message. And I think that's kind of when it works well. Mm.
Good blurb, Big T.
Yeah.
Nice. Good, man.
What
is the genre of this? Like, is it like apocalyptic, sci-fi, supernatural? Where does it fall in the genre?
I would call
genre?
It supernatural. Okay. So it's about a group of kids. They get into a car accident, and then when they kind of like come to after the accident, they realize that like everybody on their island is gone. There's like nobody on the island where they used to live, and they used to live in this little like kind of island off the coast of, I don't know, Seattle or Oregon or somewhere. But yeah, when they come to, there's no more people. And the book is kind of a journey of trying to figure out what happened. So I would call it kind of a supernatural thriller.
Spoiler alert, he ripped off Left Behind.
Well, yeah, dude. I mean, don't we all, though? I mean, we all owe a huge debt of gratitude to Left Behind.
Yeah, you mentioned some people look up to C.S. Lewis, Tim LaHaye, Jerry B. Jenkins here. So
yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, we all cut our teeth on that as fiction writers and as writers in general. So
I can't wait to cut my teeth on that someday.
Baby, you've never read the Left Behind books?
No, I just never have gotten to get a fiction book published so that I can brag about being influenced by LaHaye.
Well, dude, you're going to do a lot of bragging when you get that Christmas sweater novel published. It's going to be a lot, but can I ask you this, baby?
Yeah, throw it.
Have you always been like a voracious reader, or is that a thing that's kind of happened over the last couple of years?
No, I've always read a lot. Yeah.
Really? So read a lot as a kid?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. What remember kind of all stuff? Those like 11 hour van rides that he had to take just to get to school? There's probably a lot of books totally. In there.
That's true. 100%. Yeah, that's true, yeah. Man. In the back of that Econoline, getting a lot of pages in.
Yeah.
The old Econoline. What kind of stuff were you reading as a kid?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's stuff I can't remember, but it would be a bunch of just like, you know, really harmless kind of fiction.
Like Tolkien-y, like fanciful world stuff?
It was just, I mean, my mom would buy a stack of books and you know what I mean? It was like, it was that kind of a thing. I didn't even know what I was getting. I would just get them and read them kind of a thing.
Dude, this Echo Island, it occurs to me that like, this is the book that a mom will buy for her like middle school aged boy. Yeah, like that's the target audience. So if there are moms listening who have boys who fall in that like age category, this is the book to get them for Christmas.
So let me ask you this, man. I want to ask this as a question for both of you. All right.
Sure.
Let's just pretend me and you, Pipe. Let's just pretend that we're novel writers like Cluck and Wilson just for a minute. And if you could, like, give me sort of a hint of kind of the storyline/plot of like a novel you would like to write that you have.
So a novel that we haven't written, but we
That you'd like to write, that you've kind of thought about, you've kind of run it through your brain for so many years, and it's kind of, maybe it's not fully fleshed out, but you're thinking like, dude, I would love to write this if I ever have the opportunity to like get a deal and make this happen.
I've got one locked and loaded, but I'm going to let Pipe go first. I want to hear what Pipe has on this.
See, you just asked me the unanswerable question, because I've thought about trying fiction so many times, and the storyline is always what hangs me up, because, well, for two reasons. One, I just haven't like latched on to one that in my mind that I think, oh, that sounds amazing. And two, plot-driven fiction tends to be kind of flat to me, like character-driven fiction. So when you read like Leif Anger or Frederick Backman or one of these guys, like they have plots, but you don't really, when somebody asks you what the book is about, it's about the characters. So that, but I don't know how to write that. I haven't puzzled that out. So I don't have like a story that I'm just dying to tell.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Appreciate
the honesty.
Yeah. I don't know that I have one I'm dying to tell, but there's one that I would like to write. And it'll take a lot of time, a lot of research. So my grandpa and his brothers, like when they were growing up in Chicago, like way back in the day, they were bootleggers. And they were part of the like whole Capone thing, apparently. And they had a speakeasy on the South Side. And they would, you know, these are all kind of apocryphal stories about the kinds of things that they got into. But I would love to write a story about their family. So they were like German immigrants who got involved in bootlegging during Prohibition on the South Side of Chicago, which I just think is all fascinating. And I'm kind of in love with the aesthetic of that time, you know, the dark bar rooms and the like the leather booths and the speakeasies and the suits and Tommy guns and all that stuff. So I think it would be a fun book to write. And it'd be fun to like write down some of those stories and preserve them in perpetuity. So
but you're saying like make it like do like a fiction.
Yeah, I think I would have to, because all the people that would have been alive to like tell me firsthand what some of those things were definitively are gone now. So, sure. I think I'd have to fill in a lot of cracks and do a lot of my own writing with it. But I have written a longer novel for adults. It's called Re-Raptured. So speaking of the end times, go to Amazon.com, the little company that we've partnered with in the past, type in Re-Raptured novel. And, if you're into the work of Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, this one eviscerates their work while also being a really fun and funny story to read. So check it out. It's called Re-Raptured. This isn't my promo app though. This is Jared's, to be clear. I don't want to step on Jared's promo here.
No, I hear you. Yeah.
Baby, what about you? Let me ask this before we get into plot specifics. Do you dream of writing novels? Like, is that lifestyle, that persona, is that something that you dream about in general?
I really don't dream about it. I do have a bunch of stories on tap, but it feels I'm kind of market driven, because anybody I ever talk to always tells me, oh, those things don't sell anymore. So kind of a stitch into it for me, because I'm just thinking, well, who's going to put it out? You know, and I don't like to write without it being put out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, and, totally. So I have a bunch of stories on tap that I think might be interesting, but like until somebody says like, yeah, we're interested, why don't you go for it? You know, I feel a little deflated.
Yeah.
I'd like to write. I mean, before I die, which could be like in a week, I would love to at least get one of those things out, you know, who knows?
Baby, what are you talking about a week? How's your health?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know. None
of
us know.
Any younger. I'm not like Pipe. I'm not getting perpetually younger. You know.
Dude, you're retreating though soon. You're getting that rest in.
I know. That's I am. Good, so it's gonna add another year onto my life. So.
Yeah, you're getting that rest in, baby. Well, that's good. Pipe, what did you like? Going back to the reading question, what kind of stuff did you read a lot of as a kid?
Just tons of fiction. So I think I read all of the Hardy Boys books, including like the new series, which basically just meant I read the same book 172 times.
Dude, those were sweet though.
Oh, they were tons of fun.
Yeah.
I read a lot of sports biographies, like the little kids ones. So I remember like Bo Jackson and Steve Young and Troy Aikman.
Yep.
The ones that I'd get from like school book fairs.
Totally.
Well, what are those, Scholastic or whatever they are?
Yeah.
What else did I read? I read, I would get like the big sort of encyclopedic picture books on like military gear through the ages. Castles.
Dude, Maxim loves those.
Did you guys ever see the Cross Sections books?
Yep.
So they were like almost poster size, and it would just like cut the Titanic in half or a castle in half, and you could just sort of see the inner workings of these things. I used to eat that stuff up. We didn't have a TV, so I just read all the time. Like if I wasn't outside climbing trees or playing sports, I was reading. Those are kind of that's kind of what I did.
Dude, your parents must have been so pleased with you. You know what I mean?
I think my parents were pleased when I was not being a pain in their backside. And so being outside or reading were both successful, not being a pain in their backside. So, you know, I got in plenty of trouble too, but.
Dude, as an Enneagram 8, were you always pushing back on them? Were you always like pushing the boundaries and questioning their authority?
I was also the youngest child up until I was 12. And so I kind of had the like skate by mentality.
Sure.
So I didn't so much push back as just ignore.
Yeah. And they had probably largely given up by the time.
Yeah. Because by the time you get to the youngest, it's like, we just can't try anymore. We're so tired.
You know, my parents just, I don't even think my brothers would say that's true about how my parents handled me, but I did argue with my mom a lot as I got into my teens, but when I was younger, my version of pushing back was mostly just not doing what I was told to do. I was like, no, I don't need to listen to you. That's not what I'm going to do.
Interesting. Interesting.
I think I thought of a plot line, or at least like a plot arena.
Okay.
That I would try to write. And it would be in the vein of like, it would be sort of a, Friday Night Lights, the book meets personal memoir.
Ooh. So dude, sort of like it.
So sort of like washed up high school athlete, best days of our lives, high, football and baseball memoir kind of thing. And then the, like, what does it look like to move on from that? But fictional, but sort of autobiographical too.
Yeah, why are those the best days of our lives? But they totally are.
Because they were the last time we had a chance to like compete for fun, and that was what we lived to do. And then we had then responsibilities entered our lives.
And there's all the camaraderie that comes from that, and all the peripheral stuff is pretty fun too. Man, yeah, I would read that book and probably massively connect with it. You should write it, Pipe. Do you think you have enough juice to like pitch a book like that and get somebody to take a flyer on it?
I don't know. When you step out of your lane, people, I mean, you guys know this because you guys have written in multiple genres. When you step out of your lane, people, you start back at zero.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're a published author. If you've published a bunch of Christian nonfiction, then you're like, hey, I want to write a fictional autobiographical memoir about a high school athlete on a bad football team.
Yeah.
I don't know how well that's going to sell.
I know, man. You kind of have to be like,
good luck.
Yeah. You have to be a massive seller to get somebody to take a flyer on that. But I could see it happening for you, Pipe. I'd like to see you pursue that for sure.
I think if I ever wrote that on, so Ronnie just said he doesn't want to write something unless it's going to be published, which I resonate with because I also don't like to write unless I get paid for it. But I think with this one, if I decided to pull the trigger, I would write it. And then if nobody else wanted to publish it, I would just self-publish or like serialize release or something like that.
Yeah.
Because to write that would absolutely have to be like a passion project, not a
for sure.
get rich project.
Yeah, I've thought about that, Pipe. I think for a fiction, there's some validity to that actually, because again, your base is going to be most interested in it anyway. And so, yeah, I think that's a viable option for sure for a fiction piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, boys, we're right at about 30 minutes. Do we want to wrap it? Do we want to go a little longer? Do we want to get to the Patreon app? What are we feeling
right
now?
Well, we should probably close up this lengthy pseudo promo by saying, listeners, Echo Island, not Echo Canyon or Echo Chamber, but Echo Island by at Jared C. Wilson.
I can't remember.
Is available from B&H Publishers wherever you buy books. So you can get it through Lifeway.com. You can get it on our little business partner, Amazon. As I'm looking at the screen right now, the Kindle edition is under $8. So if you're like, if you're an ebook reader, go snag that. But go check that out. It Christmas gift buying season is coming up. This is a good good one for all of the young adult readers in your life. So yeah, go get that.
Davey, I've got one more question for you on this, on the Echo Island thing.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, have you discerned, you're a man of cloth, you're very discerning, you're also very close with Jared, well documented. Have you discerned a change in his countenance, his approach since he's a novelist now? Like, is he doing anything differently? Is he looking at himself differently? Is he walking a little taller? Is the whole C family kind of like walking a little taller? What's been the response, like,
yeah,
I mean, I internally
think I think it's obviously been life-changing for him. I mean,
well, sure.
I mean, Jared C. puts an average out of like two books a year, and just like you guys, you've never seen Jared C. promo any book like he's done Echo Canyon, man.
Really?
I mean,
you feel like he's done more on Echo Canyon than he's done on any of his
close
other. Interesting.
He is just literally, he's promoed that thing like nobody's promo.
Can't talk to the guy without him mentioning Echo Canyon.
Literally, I just go, hey, what's going on? He goes, oh, I don't know, just reading my book Echo Island again, you know. Yeah, it's like I say, and I'm like, dude, we got a podcast to do, Jared. See, are we, can you put that thing down for a minute so we can do our podcast,
baby? Yeah. How's your pod with Jared going?
I mean, it's going great. It's going good.
How often do you guys record?
We just recorded another bundle of eps last week. Yeah.
That's a high point, I bet, in the week when you get to do that, isn't it?
You know what's amazing?
I
think it's amazing that Jared can get enough of Ronnie's time to record a bundle of episodes.
We barely get him, Pipe. We get him coming or going, you know? I feel like he blocks off a whole day for Jared.
Boys, just remember who's been on the pod. Look how consistent I've been on the pod. Let's remember the love you gave me at the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. Let's not take that for granted.
Boys, I'm here for you, man. I'm here for you.
You know who else is here for us, baby? Dwell Bible. Mm. Dwell is here for us, for the three of us, in a business sense, in that we are partners in business with them. But they're here for the rest of the Happy Rant community in another way. And Piper, why don't you tell us about that way?
Yeah, if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can check out the full spate of features that this audio Bible app has. There's an abundance of them for all sorts of listeners, whether you're a more serious student or just trying to get into the Bible or just trying to improve your kind of scripture memorization or engagement habits. They have a bunch of readers, bunch of listening plans, bunch of features to help you out. And at that link, that's dwellapp.io/happyrant, they offer a 20% discount to our listeners. That is less than $2 a month for what is the best audio Bible app out there that I'm aware of? It's really great. It's a regular at our home. When my wife's getting ready for work and, if I'm out on a run or something like that, I'll listen to it periodically, and just a great way to get the Bible into life. So again, check that out. dwellapp.io/happyrant, get your discount and get a little more scripture into your life.
Interesting. Well done, Pipe.
Interesting.
You know what's interesting?
That's a great filler word for that transition.
I'm thinking out loud. Like, I didn't know you were a runner, and I want to know like what you're.
What are you running? Like, what do I run in?
Yeah. Are you like a tights under the shorts kind of guy?
No. Okay. No. That's. I think the last time I wore any sort of tights under shorts was like a flag football tournament 8 years ago or something like that. No, I'm just like standard, like gym shorts and like dry fit t-shirt. So not like skin tight anything. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm just trying not to sweat through my clothes and make them super disgusting.
You're trying to go unnoticed, like you said on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to call me a runner. That implies that that I'm good at this thing. I run in the same way. Like some people have. Like side hustles to make a little extra spending money.
Yeah.
I run That's like my, those are like my side calories that I'm gaining. That's how I eat and drink the things that I like so that I and not get super large. That's the
You got to find a way to talk insufferably about it all the time. Like the side hustle guys, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I guess I need like a mid-level marketing running scheme or something.
There you go. I love it. Well, boys, we need to draw this little side scheme of ours to an end because we have done what we always do on this program, which is wander to and fro throughout Jared's new book and a couple of other things. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your jean size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compare To You podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compare To You is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.